Welcome to the longest running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO, 94.5 FM and 103.5 FM. And you can go to Facebook Live right now. I'll wave to you. Hi to you guys. We have a few folks that like to check out Facebook Live. If you go to The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly, you'll see that page and you can like it. Please like me. We appreciate it. And then check out the show. We are live right now on Facebook Live. We hopefully will have a special show today. we have Ivan Choi, who will be calling in, and I gave him the 636 number, which is our hotline number. And so hopefully he'll be calling that number, 636-1350-707, 636-1350. He'll be calling in about 9:15. And then I thought I had invited and confirmed with my friend John Duran, who is a realtor with Coble Banker. You may remember John used to work for Christopherson Homes. He was their sales manager, and we used to have him on the show and chat about new home sales and all that kind of good stuff. And we also sold a lot of bank-owned properties during the day, and that was, gosh, Ivan was on the show, I think, 6 years ago, so you can see how things have changed. We had had him on at the same time we had one of the vice presidents for B of A. And Ivan had started with B of A and gone to another bank, but we had a great debate, not so much a debate as a really great discussion on the current state of the REO market, short sale markets. And that was back in the time when those two categories, short sales and REO, which stands for real estate owned, which were bank foreclosed properties, they were almost 60% of the market, which was, you know, tremendous. And it was interesting because I had the pretty much the entire county assessor's office at our Tuesday realtor meeting last week, and Bill Rousseau, who is the I always screw him up who he is. He's the tax. He's the elect. Oh, I always forget. He's with the assessor's office. He's the big guy at the assessor's office. Sorry, Bill. Bill hates me when I do this. But and we were chatting about at one time, short sales and REOs were not really looked upon as being comparable to the assessor's office. Eventually, they did come around. And then they saw there were so many all of a sudden, then they just dropped everybody's valuations, which they can do. And the reason I bring that up is because now we're pretty much out of that. Not too many people are still, with the old, I think it's Proposition 8, which is the reassessment after, a foreclosure, this type of thing. And then the sales of REOs and short sales are now about 1.5% of the market, if that. So it's been a tremendous decline in those. So we're going to hopefully have Ivan. He's going to join us about 9:15, and we'll chat about that and where the future of banking, because Ivan is very involved with banking. He's the he's a U.S. district manager for U.S. Bank, so he knows his stuff. He's been doing this for many years, and he's a really great conversationalist. So I'm looking forward to him calling in about 9:15. I hope Otto entertained you last week. I know we entertained Joe getting in here just before the news, so that always makes Joe's life exciting. Otto's a great guy. If you haven't used him in the past, we recommend him highly. That's why he was on the show. You know, and he teaches a lot of classes to realtors on how to make your loan very competitive to a cash deal. You know, he can pretty much, you know, show you how things you can do, especially if you're pre-approved. Sometimes you don't need to even put loan approval on there. I've done this with other lenders. Also, we've used Eric Olquist at Wells Fargo and Pete Phillippe. Obviously, Pete's been on the show many, many times. And Pete is a great guy to use also. So there's a way you can set up your loan where you can go into an offer scenario and be very competitive to a cash deal, because normally you're going to be offering more than, say, a cash deal is. And so you have that advantage. And then, you know, though a lot of people will go with a cash deal, but nowadays, you know, if you structure it properly, you don't have to do that. So I'm sure Otto talked about that, plus some other stuff. Did you guys talk sports at all, Joe?
No.
Good. Go Giants. Yeah. I'm finding out all these Dodger fans that I have on Facebook who I had no idea were Dodger fans. They all come out of the woodwork, you know.
Did you block them?
Huh?
Did you block
really? I'm thinking about it. Believe me. My buddy Jeremy Olsen and then Steve Herndon, they're all like Dodger fans. I'm going, oh, my God, how did that happen? I thought I could pick out a Dodger fan a mile away. Anyway, but we'll see. But we'll get them next year, Joe, right?
There's always next year.
Do we have a wipeout for the week? Do we have a big
college
game?
Actually, I have one or two. They weren't really...
Is that already up there?
Unfortunately, one of them was a local team. San Jose State lost to Utah State 61-10.
Oh, my God.
So that's not... But
so I guess San Jose sucks this year, huh?
No, they're not very... They weren't good against Utah
61
State.
61-10.
But the biggest wipeout was number one Alabama. I mean, not score-wise, but 59-0.
Yeah.
First down... And they played Vanderbilt, which is an SEC team.
Yeah.
And it was on national TV for whatever reason. First downs, 38-3.
Oh, my God.
Total yards, 677-78.
Oh,
so that's 59-0.
Well, you know, Vanderbilt really probably figured, what the heck? We don't got a chance. Let's rest the entire first string, put in the second string, and let them get murdered. Yeah, I know. This whole thing about, you know, these colleges, we get to play Alabama. Oh, lovely, you know, and it's just like, you know, getting creamed like that, 59-0. Oh, my gosh. That's pretty humiliating.
Yeah, well, the stats were worse than the score.
Yeah. So I got an open house study come out. We had a major price reduction on the property we've been chatting about for a while here on the show, and I'm kind of at a loss as to why this property is not sold. It's 4335 La Grande Lane, which is in the heart of Bennett Valley. It's just about a mile off of Sonoma Mountain and Bennett Valley intersection. I'll be open there today, 1 to 4 o'clock. It's just over 1,600 square feet, acre and a half, all usable lands. Got a couple of neat sheds on it, you know, outbuildings you can, you know, start, you know, your accumulation of all of the stuff you'll have when you have an acre and a half. Because usually people that have an acre and a half have stuff. But the owner is a landscaper. He's got plenty of, you know, plants and everything out there. A separate gate onto the property for that issue. And then there's a circular driveway for the house. Single level living. So if you guys are, you know, want a nice single level house where you don't have to do a lot of stairs, a new redwood deck, new carpeting. Just had the pest report done. It was very minor issues. We've had a septic. We've had a well report. The area out there is a little sketchy water-wise, okay, but the septic works terrific. Come out and see me today. We do reduce the price down to $780. Okay, that's a drop of over $35,000. So if you wish to get a good buy on the marketplace, come out and see me today. I'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock, 4335 La Grande Avenue, La Grande Lane. And you just go out Bennett Valley, you know, some amount, about a mile, and then you'll run into it, okay? So we're going to take a break and hopefully come back with our guest, Ivan Choi. When we return with the Real Estate Hour, I'm Mike Kelly. Call a number. I'm not going to give it to you because that person will be on that phone line, okay? Right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
Super Chef Dustin Vallette wrote, "Having been to Hudson Valley foie gras, we believe that those ducks are much better taken care of than industrial-raised chicken."
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly, it is the Real Estate Hour. We have a special guest on the line. We have Ivan Choi, who's with the U.S. Bank. Good morning, Ivan.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm hanging around.
Good. We haven't spoken for
happy.
Yeah, we haven't spoken for a long time. Last time we had you on the show, we had a vice president from B of A here, and you were on the line, and we had a great debate on the then REO and short sale market, and that's kind of left us, Ivan.
Yes, it's been 7 years, actually.
Yeah, wow. I know, and, you know, I was talking earlier on the air that at one time we were 60% of our sales were REO or short sale. And now, thank God, we're down to about 1.5%, if that, percent. So it's dropped, you know, pretty much out of sight.
Yeah, it's hard to find a house now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's our biggest issue. Right now, we only have 860 active listings in our MLS, which is for a population of just over 500,000 people. So, you know, it's pretty skinny. Now, you're down in Southern California, correct?
I am.
And how's the market down there? Is it it's the same thing we have up here, tight, hot market?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. I think in your neck of the woods, it's you know, a little more extreme.
You're right.
But Southern California, I mean, if you're talking about L.A., Orange County, some parts of Inland Empire, it is low inventory.
Yeah, that's pretty much. So let me ask you a question, since we're going to be talking about, you know, the future of banking, current state of banking. You're with U.S. Bank now. Is that correct?
That's right.
I want to make sure we get it all straightened out. And then you've had a pretty long history of working with banks. You obviously, we met when you were with, were you ever with Countrywide or were you with B of A to begin with?
I came up through Countrywide, and
right.
I was there for about 13 years
right.
before Bank of America took over.
Right. Then you were with B of A, and then you moved on from B of A, and now you're with U.S. Bank, and you're kind of a big picture guy. That's why we like having you on the show, and you've got a pretty interesting grasp as to what's going on. You network extensively across the United States. I think we're belong to the same organization, which is the Asian Realtor Association. I think it's A. Is it AEEA?
AREAA.
There you go.
Right.
There we go. Yeah, and so you're always seem to be involved. So what are you seeing across the country? Let's chat about. We talked about scarcity, you know, of properties. The sales for us are, you know, kind of lackluster. Also, are you seeing the same thing across the nation with sales down and inventory down?
Yeah, I mean, the general trend in most metro areas, you probably already know, but the volume of sales is either flat or down in most cases. And because of the scarcity, prices and values on real estate they continue to go up.
Yeah.
So that's major metro areas. There are, of course, second and third tier markets that maybe are a little bit different. Maybe they have a little more inventory, but there isn't really a population move that is helping, you know, second and third markets actually grow.
Right, right. And what do you attribute this to? I think a lot of the, you know, we took the baby boomers basically kind of out of the market. I mean, a lot of them, if they're buying anything now, they're probably buying retirement homes, but they're not the force they were at once. And that was the single largest generation of consumers ever. I mean, boomers bought stuff. And now we're looking at the other biggest generation, which are the millennials, and they're not buying stuff. Number one, because they're still early in their purchasing years, but they have a lot of different ways they think about home ownership, just, you know, how they buy property, where they want to buy property. We've had some interesting stories, Ivan, where we've had parents giving money to the millennials to buy a house, and then the parents are trying to buy a house, and it turns out they bid on the same properties.
Yes.
That could be awkward around the table, you know that?
Yeah, well, it is, you know, the dynamic among generations right now is pretty interesting, but the highest concentration of real estate equity is still held by baby boomers.
Right.
And baby boomers are still the ones purchasing a lot of properties, as you kind of alluded to. And the other dynamic with baby boomers is sometimes they're not purchasing on their own behalf. You know, they're doing what previous generations have been doing, which is they're helping their kids either purchase homes outright or put the down payment. And, you know, that gives the ability, the biggest hurdle for home ownership, usually one of the biggest ones, is getting the down payment together.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
Millennials, of course, face that just like any other generation before them.
Yep. And now, but you know, we do have some really great programs out there. I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of 3% loans. There's VA, which is zero down. I know you represent U.S. Bank, so, you know, there's a lot of people really, you know, advocating to have special programs for first-time home buyers and folks. What does U.S. Bank have that you feel kind of is an industry, maybe a trendsetter or something you see within the industry where they're going more after the millennials and giving them more money to get perhaps, or just better, you know, lending criteria? Is it's still pretty tight, or is things loosen up a little bit?
I would say so. You know, I wouldn't say it's cutting edge necessarily, because down payment assistance has been around and there's always been policy to try to help people get into homes. But, you know, if we're talking about U.S. Bank specifically, one thing is in the state of California, U.S. Bank is the master servicer and originator for down payment assistance program called Golden State Finance Authority.
Uh-huh.
And the Golden State Finance Authority, GSFA, they have what they call a platinum program, which gives, it's literally free money, 5% down. And when the transaction closes, when the home sale closes, there's no repayment at all.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so it's like a lot of down payment assistance programs, it's subject to, you know, it's got to be low to moderate income.
Right.
The property has got to be, you know, no more than what a mid-level property is priced in a given market, and it goes by county. But, you know, otherwise, the 5% from the state of California, essentially, it's totally free.
Hmm, interesting. Now, do you find that works in certain counties better, say, than like in our area with the scarcity of product? You know, anything like in the 4 to 5 range is generating tremendous offers. As a matter of fact, it's all across the board. We wrote an offer on a property for $1.3 million, and we were put in back a position. Another property, we put an offer in at $900,000, and there were 15 other offers. So it's that kind of a market up here. So how do you sell that product?
You raise a great point, and it's the age old, you know, dilemma.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of course, when you're talking about a highly competitive situation, you know, down payment assistance programs, they go by the wayside. I mean, you ask a lot of mortgage folks out there, who are good at this stuff, and they'll tell you they've got a stack of these pre-approvals, and you know, the borrower is having a hard time finding a property, or if they do find one, competing for one, because there's still a lot of cash offers out there, and people who deliberately find a way to pool together cash because they're trying to win the bid.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's in for, yeah, right now I think we're about 25, 26. It's been kind of a constant number, over the last 5 or 6 years of cash, But when you get obviously into the higher price points, it becomes even more so. But, we had a lender on here last week who we work with who teaches how to make your loan go up against a cash deal, because that is always the scenario. It was before, back in the REO days when you had a cash deal. I mean, you guys, B of A loved that. Yeah, give us a cash deal. And there was oftentimes we would tell folks that they may even take a cash deal over a higher price deal. So are you still seeing that in your travels?
Sure. I mean, there's always ways to work individual deals, and the skill level and sophistication of agents, of course, varies, as we all know.
So there's always
a potential to try to, make a deal happen. But I would say overall, the reality is, with down payment assistance and other programs that are meant to help people get into their first home, the reality, unfortunately, is a lot of times they're not going to be able to compete in competitive markets.
Right, right. Yeah, they either have to maybe work out, say, a subdivision where there are homes dedicated to first-time home buyers and this type of thing, and that's how you can get into it. Yeah, we have, and I was wondering because, we only had, I think this year, Ivan, we've only had 2 months where we've had sales in excess of 500 units. And we had to have that in 2 years. So, we're just not getting any major traction. If anything, we've been in a steady decline over the last 5 years as to inventory, as to sales. And, I know there's a whole bunch of banks and title companies and mortgage companies all making these big, expansive moves. Someday somebody's going to go, wait a second, there's not that many deals out there. So, how is U.S. Bank poised in the industry?
Well, when it comes to U.S. Bank, and then, and by the way, a lot of people, especially in the West Coast, when they hear the name U.S. Bank, they associate it with maybe being one of the top, the largest banks in the country, but it's actually a mid-tier bank. But if you're talking about U.S. Bank or any of the other big banks, there's a lot of lending in the high-end space.
Right.
So jumbo loans, portfolio loans, and the reason why is because if you can attract these consumers who obviously have a financial background, there's services to be able to offer them, for all of their financial needs.
Sure, sure.
In addition to mortgage. So you don't get that with, necessarily with the first time home buyer. You don't get it right away. Typically, you'll get it later on as their careers grow and their income grows, et cetera.
Right. And that's, it's part of the saving grace is that our median home price in Sonoma County is now about $624,000. So if you sell, one of those a month as an agent, it's not a great living, but it sure is, a heck of a lot better than what they were doing before. I mean, right now, they go, well, I sold one sale for $600,000, dear, and here I'm making, probably 12 grand. So, that's not a bad way to get by. So that's the saving grace here. The heavens forbid if we should go down. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to Ivan about where he perceives the market going and are we ready for a shift. So stay tuned. We're going to have Ivan Choi back. He's with U.S. Bank. We're delighted to have him back on the show. He hasn't been on since 7 years. So we'll be right back with Ivan Choi. Stay tuned.
echoes among players and team owners to President Trump's comments against players not standing for the national anthem. Players at the Ravens-Jaguars game in London kneeled or locked arms during the anthem. The Pittsburgh Steelers say their whole team will not leave their locker room until the anthem is over. Supporting the president, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, also defending his use of a military jet from New York City to Washington last month.
There are times when I need secure communications to be in touch with the president, the National Security Council.
Treasury Chief on ABC's This Week. Early exit polls, initial election results in Germany, a top U.S. ally and Europe's economic powerhouse. Chancellor Angela Merkel is ahead with her try for a fourth term, a little lower than expected, with a solid but slightly smaller coalition. And the ultra-right anti-refugees party is doing better than expected, apparently winning some parliament seats for the first time. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO. Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
A bit warmer temperatures to start off the week. Today, blue skies at 86, 72 on the coast. Clear tonight, low 55, 52 on the shores. Monday is sunny at 88, 75 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, blue skies at 92, 78 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503. Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It's the Real Estate Hour. I want to remind you of an open house I'm having today, 1 to 4 o'clock. Come out and see me at 4335 La Grande Lane. We reduced the price $35,000 down to $780,000. House is single level, 1,600 square feet, about an acre and a half, right? It's smack in the heart of Bennett Valley. So we've got plenty of reports on file for you to take a look at. I'll have those at the open house. So come out and see me today, 1 to 4 o'clock, 4335 La Grande in Bennett Valley Road, off of Bennett Valley Road. So we're delighted to have Ivan Choi on the line. We haven't had Ivan on in 7 years. And good morning once again, Ivan.
Good morning.
And you are now with U.S. Bank. And tell us your position there and just what it is you do there.
Yes. Well, I returned back to my roots in the mortgage business. So I step back from national roles, and I'm just in a local role with a team of loan officers trying to serve the local marketplace.
You got it. And that's where the rubber really hits the road, you know, when you get down talking to guys that are working every day and gals that are working every day to get folks home loans. The biggest problem you're probably running into is?
The biggest problem is inventory, as we've been discussing. Borrowers, you know, there's a lot of people who are qualified for mortgages right now at pretty high standards in the lending business, but they just cannot find a home.
Yep. And let's chat about that, because, I mean, we went from, obviously, the extreme lack of, you know, any type of safeguards or underwriting when we were countrywide and into that whole era. And, you know, we all know what happened after that, you know, the REO market, the short sale market. REO stands for real estate owned, which are the bank foreclosed properties. And, you know, they're now, when you look at the numbers, and there's a site I go to quite often called Calculated Risk. It's a great blog, financial Central blog, and they talk a lot about real estate. They use a company called Black Knight, which tracks foreclosures. Right now, the actual properties that are in foreclosure is 0.76%, which is tremendous when you look at. I know you're with Countrywide and BMA. How high did we get for foreclosures? I know there's the Big Short where he walks out of the room and I forget the last number he puts on the board, but it's a pretty big number. So I mean, give us some perspective of where you were and where we are now, and also about the underwriting issues. Do you see that maybe lightening up a little bit, maybe getting less restrictive? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so you were saying 0.74%, which is what Black Knight is reporting.
7 cents,
and
yeah.
During the foreclosure days, it was getting as high as 3.5%, 4%, default rate, which, for anybody not familiar, every percentage point is a huge, shift. So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a big drop. So we have, looks like we have stability. And actually, when they were looking at the amount of equity created, it's pretty tremendous. Even that is dropping where how many of people are actually have negative equity. Right now, there's, roughly 63% of all, homeowners have a mortgage on their property. California alone, the equity, has increased just over last year, I think, to $40,000. Washington is about the same number. The rest of the country, it's up about, $12,000 to $13,000. So we are seeing equity. So we're seeing the amount of equity people have in their properties go down. So now, what does that mean to you as a lender? Refinance, right?
Yeah, I mean, it means that equity, home equity lines may come back a little bit. And certainly, larger banks have been offering equity lines for a little while now. It also means refinance activity, especially if, somebody took out an adjustable rate mortgage to just get in the home, get their foot in the door. And now, a year or two has gone by. To your point, equity has grown. It's a chance for them to, redo their loan.
Yeah, because we've heard of the great, remember it used to be the what do they call it, the black inventory or the inventory that wasn't accounted for, which was going to come on.
Yeah, the shadow inventory.
Shadow inventory, yes. That's what it was, shadow inventory. And over the last 12 months, almost 750,000 borrowers achieved positive equity. So we're seeing those negative equity homes go away. I know you've been out of the business in the default market for quite a while, but I know a U.S. bank probably tracks a lot of these issues. So it must be all good news, huh?
Yeah, I mean, when equity goes up, real estate problems just and mortgage problems just go away.
You got it.
I mean,
yeah.
In the run up, the reason why nobody was prepared for the financial crisis is because valuations continue to be strong, and if somebody did make a mistake on the financing side or in the investment on real estate, it would just easily be fixed because equity would go up anyway.
Yep, I know. Yeah, and that was the whole thing. I mean, I kept, how many times I was told, number one, don't worry, we'll always have appreciation. Don't worry, well, we can always refinance you out of that loan. And, that was the whole chant, the whole mantra in those days was that don't worry about it, the market will take care of everything.
Yes.
And it did not. Eventually it hit.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. And we took the biggest dump ever. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The biggest one. Yeah. So now where do you guys see the market going? Because I know, right now, we're in the, obviously, we're kind of in the backwash of the technology industry. We're, very close to San Francisco, to Santa Clara. So the whole Bay Area has had this huge wealth effect, created by that marketplace and by the people who work there. Now, how do you see that happening across the nation? Where do you see the real estate market going? I know U.S. Bank and other banks are always tracking where they think the market's gone. What do you perceive any issues in the future that you can put your thumb on?
Yeah, I mean, I would, so really quickly, I'll take it back to what you were mentioning about generations.
Sure.
And as we kind of mentioned, you know, the majority of real estate equity is still held by the baby boomers who are obviously aging. And, you know, they are unable to downsize because the generations coming up are not buying homes like the baby boomers did.
Right.
So, you know, it's causing some stoppage in the movement of real estate and the movement of people. So that has wide ranging effects. But if you take it, so to your question, you know, if you take it over to the banking side and look at what's kind of going on there, ever since the crisis, there's been more regulation in lending. The underwriting has gotten, you know, some would say back to basics. Others who, you know, grew up in the industry recently, they would say it's, you know, more on the conservative side. And if you look at lending overall, aside from the capital that banks offer in terms of jumbo financing, if you think about it, every mortgage originator out there is an agent of the government in some way because, mm-hmm. You know, the loan is either backed by Fannie, Freddie, or
right.
HUD, or, yep. you know, one of the government entities. So there isn't any real differentiation other than, you know, how quickly a particular loan officer and their team can process a loan and get it done. And even then, it's you know, you can't always replicate it on a consistent basis. And so anyhow, what I'm getting to is if you talk to a lot of the leaders in finance today, some of them feel that there is a big chance right now to make a big impact when it comes to new technology, when it comes to handling compliance and regulation in lending, and also, you know, of course, enhancing how the customer feels. Because right now, I'm sure that most borrowers, as they've tried to get a loan, you know, maybe some of them have had a smooth process, but I would submit that most of them have had many irritations along the way as they try to get their loan in this day and age.
Yeah, I know. Really. Yeah, they always say, you know, realtors should move every 5 years so we gain empathy as to what our buyers and sellers go through. And, you know, I have one client now who the poor guy, he's a farmer. He had to bring in his wine crop, his grape crop this year, and he's trying to sell his house. And, you know, it's just maddening sometimes. But yeah, the big picture is such where, you know, you're looking as to just how tight things could be. And it looks like they're starting to loosen up a little bit. I'm not seeing any, like, no doc loans and this kind of stuff or no liar loans. But what do you perceive in the future as what will be happening? We have a Republican Congress, and if anything, they would probably be more inclined to, you know, let the rules be a little more lax. So, well, what do you perceive coming down the road?
Yeah, so there's going to have to be some changes, whether it's innovation and technology. So technology can the big dilemma in lending from the big picture standpoint is that there's capital out there, but it's not being attracted to. It's not being put into mortgage lending,
mm-hmm.
and it's an after effect of the crisis that we all experienced.
Sure.
So the capital isn't getting to where it needs to go to fuel mortgage, and then, you know, it's obviously from there that nothing is getting to the consumer. So, you know, the big innovation will have to be in how we can attract the capital back. And then, you know, part of that will be how does technology facilitate that? And can anybody come up with innovative approaches on bringing capital back into the mortgage marketplace? And we're talking about private capital, not government guarantees.
Right, right. Well, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk more with Ivan Chermi. We'll talk about what that technology looks like, Ivan, if you have some ideas about that and how we can bring the money into it. Obviously, the rates are really low, too, right now, so that may not be attracting, you know, any large amounts of cash because, you know, things are so low. So we'll take a break, come back right. More with Ivan Choi. After we return, Ivan, stay tuned. We'll have you right back, okay?
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Tom Shalhoub Show.
A new study says today's teens are about 3 years behind us when we were teens to take up adult activities. How about raising the voting age to 21?
Early afternoons right before the drive on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back once again, Mike Kelly, for the final segment of the show for this Sunday. And like I said, I'll be at an open house today, 1 to 4 o'clock at 4335 La Grande Lane. Come out and see me. Price is $780,000. Just over 1,600 square feet, single-level living on an acre and a half in the heart of Bennett Valley. So come out and see me between 1 and 4 today. And once again, we have Ivan Choi on. Good morning, Ivan.
Good morning.
And Ivan is with U.S. Bank, and you're based out of Southern California?
I am.
You are? Well, that seems to be where all the action is, you know. So now what, do you work the entire Southern California market, Ivan? Is U.S. Bank pretty big down there? Are they, like, are they in the West United States? Or?
Yeah, so the bank has a pretty good presence in Southern California as well as the western half of the country. And so for me, you know, as I was kind of mentioning before, I stepped back from a national role, and I'm, as you mentioned, where the rubber hits the road, trying to serve people in L.A., Orange County, and Inland Empire.
Great. Yeah, and we've been discussing the market, the lack of inventory, the sales are not really that great. The redeeming quality of this market, though, is the high prices. So in the rates, interest rates right now are just, what, under 4? It's really not all that competitive. I think the only really thing... Excuse me. I think the only thing really competitive is, like we were discussing earlier, about how, you know, we have such an upper tier market now. I think right now a third of all of our listings are over $1 million, Ivan, and that's just in Sonoma County. We're considered the low price spread for the Bay Area. You know, our median home price is $624. You go 30 minutes to the south in Marin County, it jumps to $1,250,000. You know, so,
right.
You know, and then San Francisco is another planet unto itself, as is Santa Clara, you know, in the East Bay, the peninsula. I mean, you know, the market is crazy up here price-wise. So, you know, we're kind of the low price spread, but I know that, you know, a lot of people, like you said, moving their assets to U.S. Bank, and that you can provide a much better, you know, loan for them for the upper end. So are we going to see more with, you know, with people with high net worth getting better loans, or just less paper hassles, you think? How's that going to work?
Well, the paper hassles can still be there.
Yeah. Yep.
But in terms of, you know, the financing that would be made available, you know, financing it's more accessible in some ways when you are showing yourself as a long-term client with, you know, the bank, whether it's U.S. Bank or the other big ones out there.
Right, right. Yeah, that seems to be the really competitive thing. I mean, we've had I had some personal dealings with business dealings with a couple of what we call pretty much personal bankers to people that have high net worth, and believe me, it's a heck of a lot easier when you're working with the personal banker when it comes to a lender with high net worth than it is unfortunately the rest of us who have to go through the process. I mean, I asked the guy when can we close. He goes, when you want to close. It's that kind of a deal. So it's a whole different ball game, but and what's driving that is the price. So how do you think rates are going to be? I mean, there's that old joke about Einstein dies and goes to heaven, and the first guy he sees, he goes, what's your IQ? And the guy says 185. He goes, oh, good, we could talk about astrophysics. And the second guy he sees, he goes, what's your IQ? And the guy says 120. And he goes, oh, we can talk about events of the day. And the third guy walks up to as a mortgage broker, and he goes, what's your IQ? And he goes, 60. He goes, great, where do you think interest rates are going? So the, callous about this, but where do you think interest rates are going, Ivan?
My personal view is they're going to stay the same more or less for a little while now. And who knows what the development is going to be that's going to cause it to go nuts. But for the foreseeable future, it doesn't seem like they're going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I know. And that's the key. And that's the key about the market, too. Like, what do you perceive would have to happen for this market to cool off or to become maybe have more inventory? So we have a multi-tiered question. I mean, what do you see is the big thing out there that is hanging, that's the 800-pound gorilla that nobody wants to talk about? Is there an 800-pound gorilla or is there not?
I don't necessarily think of it as the 800-pound gorilla, but it's the basic issue of, we need more inventory in major markets. That's number one. And then number two, going back to the fact that private capital is not being attracted into the mortgage space, there's a lack of, mortgage programs that could help get more people into more homes without having to be, subprime.
Right, right. Yeah, and the subprime market is pretty much, is it still just gone? I mean, it kind of really super imploded, didn't it?
Yeah, it's still gone, but anecdotally, so there have been a number of lenders that have raised capital and are trying to prove out the case for relaxed underwriting guidelines and be able to charge a higher premium in terms of interest rate on the loan. So a lot of times, for instance, there are relaxed programs out there where it'll be, just purely a bank statement program because you're trying to get more self-employed people in the home. But today's rates, as you mentioned, are around the 4% mark or a little bit less. Well, on this kind of a loan, for example, with relaxed underwriting, maybe we're talking about a 6% interest rate.
Right.
But anecdotally, when you offer that up to consumers, even though it meets their needs, the consumers don't want to take that deal because they are perceiving that the interest rate is outrageous.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, and that's also one thing that keeps the inventory down is that people are, why would you want to sell when you have a 3.5% interest rate? And you're kind of stuck with that. And one of the things I've seen that has supplanted the subprime is hard money lending. Because, hard money, the old days of hard money lending that we used to see was like, 14, 15%. Nowadays, it's very similar to what you were talking about. It's not perhaps 6, but maybe it's 8%, and for a lot of people wanting to get into the market, 8%, we still have a lot of guys that are doing flips and it's totally equity based, which is probably its saving grace, is that they won't even touch anything. I think that's probably, not at least 20 to 30% down. So how do you feel about, how do you see that happening?
Yeah, so hard money, you hit it on the head. I mean, it's not like it used to be, 10, 15%, whatever it was before. You're seeing hard money at, sometimes even 7%.
Yeah, yeah.
Interest rate with one or 2 points up front. But the thing about the hard money space is there are people that are trying to basically standardize the business and provide a steady flow of capital for hard money financing. But the hard money space is handicapped right now because it's fragmented. And any hard money lender you go to, they typically have, you know, a set amount of working capital that they have. And, you know, once they've made their loans, they can't make any more.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they're always looking out for an investor who wants to come in and let them have their money and loan it out. Also, you know, I remember a whole bunch of people that were making loans saying, hey, 80% loan to value. It's a perfect, no problem, man. You're not going to lose any money doing that. Of course, then we, you know, the market dropped 60%. So that was, oops, so much for that theory.
Yeah.
But, you know, but going to kind of wrap it up here. The, you know, so the rates are really looking really great. I don't see anything. I mean, Janet Yellen is, you know, she, I mean, inflation is what, 2%. It's kind of where they wanted it as far as the Fed is concerned. So are you seeing any pressure there on that level?
I mean, there could always be pressure, but there's a lot of things happening in the world today. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, my parents came from South Korea, and the whole North Korea thing, just as an example. I mean, what if we actually went there?
Yeah.
Then, who knows what would happen? Who cares about interest rates at that point?
Yeah, you don't really care at that point. No, it's maybe that's the you know, people ask me what do I think of the big problem is. I think it's nukes in Korea. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, that could stabilize that whole area, and then China's right next door, and we don't want to go there. But I mean, as far as, you know, do you see any financial aberrations out there? I don't really see anything in the marketplace. You know, we don't have like companies like Webvan and you know, these crazy companies which, you know, all went belly up at once. I mean, if we didn't have the money we had back in the 2000s when our tech market went south here, that's where the money got really easy, and we still were making a ton of loans, and the market soared like crazy. So, I mean, we don't have that, what, you know, the irrational exuberance of those days. But what do you perceive? Do you see the GSEs sticking around like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? You think the government is ready to chop off their heads?
No. So that is a really funny one to me because, a few years ago, there was a lot of movement in Washington, D.C. to actually wind down Fannie and Freddie.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, the government needs entities like Fannie and Freddie to provide liquidity. And it doesn't seem like there's any movement at all now to cut them out.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because everybody in the real estate world was going, what are you, nuts? You know, that's kind of the lifeblood of the whole industry. Well, look, we got to run, yeah. Ivan, but I really wanted to thank you for coming on to the show. You know, it's not trying to make it another 7 years if we can this time, and hopefully we won't have you on when the market's tanking once again. So we'll have to keep track of that. So thanks once again, Ivan. I appreciate you coming on to the show, and you have a great Sunday.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, take care. That's been the Real Estate Hour. Come out and see me today. I'll be at an open house, 1 to 4 o'clock, 4335 La Grande Lane. Okay, price is $780. Come out and see me 1 to 4. I'll see you next Sunday on the Real Estate Hour.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on The Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.